Yeah, it started really go downhill with the third vaccination for me. So a doctor told me it looks like that you won't alive your 40th birthday. And the doctor said my mitochondria is damaged, broken. They put my blood out, run it through a machine, and then put it back in. All in all, I paid like 30, maybe 30 or 35,000 euros for my healing, which didn't help at all. And then I did it, and the symptoms were gone.
Hi Timo, thank you very much for joining me for this interview.
So, hey, and thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Nice. So let's start. How do you feel right now?
Yeah, I feel good. I feel really good. So this morning I went to sports, I did a walk, and I went in the sauna. Yeah, so pretty active morning and pretty good.
Nice. But it didn't always used to be like that, right?
No. I had very, very hard times. So a doctor told me I'm now 37. I went to him when I was 36, and he told me, it looks like that you won't alive your 40th birthday because your body works against you and you have these agonistic antibodies. And yeah, you know the whole thing. Mitochondria damaged, inflammation high, etc., etc., etc. So.
That's crazy if a doctor would say something like that. I can't believe this. I didn't notice.
Yeah, so it was not just one doctor. I had a long struggle, you know. For me, the whole thing started with the vaccination. So in German, we called it the post-vac syndrome. And you know the whole syndrome things, what is a syndrome or not. And yeah, it started really go downhill with the third vaccination for me. And it was like they put the needle in and they put the needle out, and then yeah, I felt dizzy, you know, like everything crazy, crazy. And my feet start, or my legs started tingling, like needles, like burning needles. Later, I found out that it's called neuropathy, you know, small fiber neuropathy. That's what, you know, the doctors give names. And yeah, we know the whole thing. So, and then things like started to go downhill, let's say it like this. So I kept on fighting, I kept on working, I kept on doing. You know, back at that time, I was already like worked as a coach and trainer for mindset. I did some years of like trainings and practices of becoming an NLP practitioner, and then master, and then coach, and then trainer. And so for me, it was like I understood that everything has to do with stress. You know, for me, it was sure every disease has to do with stress. And so I got the whole symptoms and they got worse, but for me it was clear, push through, keep doing, you have to push, it will get better. So but it didn't get better.
And what kind of symptoms did you have?
Yeah, it started with dizziness, and I told you, like with the needles in the feet, and it focused on my head, you know. There were moments when where I thought that someone like grabs my brain and pushed it through, you know, like breaking the head, like pfft. So, and it started with the whole head thing, dizziness, and then there were moments where I couldn't see sharp. Yeah, there was very crazy tingling all around, and then my digestion started to get worse and worse, and then the tiredness came, like the real ugly tiredness. I called it like the you go with your friends to Mallorca, celebrate 40 days, 40 nights, you don't sleep at all, and then you run 15 marathons, and maybe then the people would like know how the tiredness is. because people always ask me, how is the tiredness? I'm sometimes tired too. Yeah, but we know it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's just some symptoms. So back at the time, I listed the symptoms and I came to maybe like 30 to 40 symptoms was the highest. Like here, like here, and then tingling mouth. I couldn't eat anything except of green vegetables. Yeah, it was crazy, crazy time.
Insane.
Wow.
Hey, and was that, did you manage to keep pushing through or did you eventually have to stop working?
I kept pushing through for like 5 months. Just to a little bit about me, you know, I did my school and then I became a teacher. So yeah, and then I was a teacher and I really liked the job, but at some point I started to dive deep in the whole personal development scene. You know, I find out about Tony Robbins and he said raise your standards. I find about Les Brown. He says you got to be hungry. And then I thought I have to, you know, I have to raise my standards. So I wanted to do more and more and more. So I was a teacher and then like I had my own fitness center. Full-time teacher and own fitness center. So I worked 7 days a week. Then the fitness center, it didn't pay off. So I sold it. And then I was a teacher and I did the trainings as a coach and a trainer. So once again, 7 days a week. And then I said, being a teacher is too low for me because, you know, I'm very smart and I can do a lot of things and I know a lot of things. And so I stopped being a teacher. Then there was a time I was a teacher and I was a trainer and I was a coach. And then I wrote a book at that time and I started my podcast. You see, I always did a lot of things. And at that time also I had a girlfriend who was very toxic for me. This is what also comes up. Mm-hmm. Just for me, it was important to understand the whole thing. So what happens? So it was like me as the personality I am, or I used to be, all the things, they came up. Then came the vaccination and then things went downhill. So yeah, and then was the moment where I quit the job that I did back in the days. And then I said I couldn't do anything. Yeah, and then I was in bed.
And then because you were like a high achiever, you were very sporty. What did that do to you? How did you feel because of it?
Yeah, for me, it was a little bit mixed, you know. When the whole thing started, I pushed through like 3 weeks and then I went to a doctor. And she said it could be have to do something with the vaccination. Okay. And then I said, yeah, then what should I do? And then she said, eat an onion every day. Don't ask me why. Eat an onion every day. And then like take, it's prednisone or predestinol. It's like cortisone in German. I don't know the English word. And then she said, I have to take it. I have to take a lot. And then I did that for like 1 or 2 weeks. And then I couldn't even walk the stairs up. And then I quitted that job and then I was like bedbound and it was a very, very hard time. And then I moved back to the place where I used to live like 1 year ago. So I thought, once again, I tried meditating and all the things I knew. I went to the to Vipassana after that. So this is what I did like... before I got ill 2 years before, I went in whole silence, you know, everything silent, no speaking, no nothing. And this was my strategy. So it was always a mind strategy. So I had symptoms because I used to be an unbelievable heady. You know, I tried to explain everything and think logical and analyze everything. So and for me, then it was clear, move back, then do the things you know. So start meditating again, do Vipassana again, go in the silent again, and then everything will get fine, okay? But it didn't get fine. So it got worse and worse and worse. And then I went to the medical thing. And I found a page on Instagram which is called the post-vac syndrome. So post-vaccination syndrome. And there was like things you should do. First thing, check if you got agonistic autoantibodies. So things in your body that works against you. So autoantibody. Yeah. And then I checked it. So in Germany, there are like three or four labs they do that. And then I send my blood in. And they said they test like six. And if you got two of them positive, it's like you are screwed. And if you got three positive, you are like effed up. So it's like boom, game over. And I had every six. So every six of them.
Oh,
Yeah.
wow.
Yeah. And then the second part, yeah, the woman from the lab, she called me. She said, I normally don't call the people, but I want to tell you, I feel so sorry for you. You must be bedbound for a long time, and I'm so sorry for you. Yeah. And then I got deeper and deeper in the whole post-vac thing. So the next thing was I checked my mitochondria. This was the second part of the list. And the doctor said my mitochondria is damaged, broken. Then I checked the mast cell activation. Maybe you heard also of that. This was the next one, also positive. And then there were like points. Check if you're intolerant to histamine, you're intolerant to glucoses. And I checked everything, and everything came positive back. My symptoms were very high. There were moments where I thought I really die because of the pain. So I can remember moments where I sit there and the thing I explained before, someone grabs my head and like pushes it. I thought that this is the end. So it was so hard, it was so painful that yeah, it didn't work. And so with that, I lived like maybe 3 or 4 months. Like there was complete hopelessness. So I would visit doctors and doctors and doctors. They checked and checked and checked. And then there was this one doctor who told me, this is this. And when I look what your body does to you, and I see how old you are, it maybe lasts 4 years, and then you have to manage it a little bit, but your life will be over. So,
It's
like this.
the most
Yeah.
difficult thing to hear, I think, especially from a doctor.
Yeah, they have authority. That's the thing. And at that point, I was so low, I believed them. And then they told me what maybe can help, but the whole disease is too young, so we don't know. So you could, for example, wash your blood. So,
What is that exactly? Is that people with kidney problems, the same thing?
yeah, like this, but a little bit different therapy. So it's called I immune adsorption. So immune adsorption, and it was like they put here a needle in, like this was this size, a needle here, and the other needle here, also this size, and then they put my blood out, run it through a machine, and then put it back in. And the theory says that they clean the blood through that. So, and I did that 7 times.
And
So I
how
was
many
there like
liters
for
do you clean like all your blood in that when you do that?
Yeah. So they say in one session, they can clean the blood 2 times. So I like clean the blood 14 times.
Crazy. It
Crazy.
sounds
Yeah.
very expensive.
Yeah, it was very expensive. It was like, what was it? Nearly 15,000 euros. And then
Wow.
I gave it to my insurance. And then they said, we don't pay it. All in all, I paid like 30, maybe 30 or 35,000 euros for my healing, which didn't help at all. Yeah.
So I can imagine you must have been at rock bottom.
Like, yeah, I was rock bottom.
Mentally in a very difficult phase. If you pay so much money, nothing works, the death sentence. How did you cope with that?
You know, it was crazy. I always had in mind that the worst thing for me was to die. That's what I heard. So you will die. Yeah, this the state. It wasn't worth living. You know, this sounds very hard, but you know, I did a lot of mindset things. So I kind of tried to push me through and try to tell me that the universe is a peaceful place. This is like the Albert Einstein question: do you live in a positive or a friendly universe, or a universe that is your enemy? And for me, it was sure that the universe is my friend in some way. And I always then thought that there should be a solution in some way. But at that time, like I told you, the 3 or 4 months, it was crazy. And I don't know if that state would like stay for like, I don't know how long, you know. Then at some point I found you, thanks God. But I don't know what would happen. So, yeah, it was not good. Let's say it like this.
And how did you find me?
Yeah, that was also on Instagram. There was like a person who followed also this post-vec syndrome page. And then she posted there something. I think they reposted it. Something like with what your beliefs can do, and something with like the nervous system and all these things. And I was so triggered by her post. Then I did a speech message with her, and I said, hello, hello, hello. You know, I do the personal development. I did it like for, I found Tony Robbins in the year 2013. So I did this 10 years. You know, I'm an educated coach and trainer and all these things. And I know all these things, and I did all these things, and it didn't work. I have here a real problem. And then she answered me back. So she said, just check the page of Daniel. You've got nothing to lose. Just look there. It's for free. It's donation based. So it was free and for donation based back in the days. And just check it. Yeah. And then there were you. And the first thing you told me was about like affirmations, and about pacing, and about all these things, which I did a lot of years before. And I thought, oh man, okay, once again, something like that. So, oh, good. But I kind of stick to it. And then I remembered that there was the whole thing about TMS and the type T personality. So I don't know if you call it the type T, but you call it the specific personality types.
Yeah.
And I thought that you talk about me, so this is me. And then I started like researching. I read all the John Sano books. I read Steve Ozanik book. I read Teal Swan, some books. Yeah. And then things.
I think you those were the books that were on my website, right? So I'll put a link in the description.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I started to do this one. And at the other point, so the whole thing with the nervous system and you, and at the other side, so I talked very bad about the doctors. I found another doctor. And this she's a doctor, she's like holistic. And she asked me, did you ever try Joe Dispenza? And I said, yes, of course. I read his books. So here in my shelter, there are like 3 books of him. Of course I know him. So, and she once, she took me like back. So there was a doctor who said that it's not just the physical thing and not just the body thing. It can be with the mind. And she said something to me, which I remember. She said, in 6 or 7 months, I had issues with my teeth also. And then like my teeth fall out. And then it was the idea to put it back in
Really?
with like an iron screw. And I told her I won't do that because I don't want anything in my body now which doesn't belong there. So no, like iron or something. And I said I won't do that. And she said to me, "You will see in 6 months we have a completely other situation." So she gave me hope. So there was the hope from the doctor, and then there was the hope from Daniel, who maybe had an oh, fireworks. Do you see
What
it?
is that? Did you do it? Did you do it?
No, it was it. I don't know, firework, you know. Yeah. You know, and then there was hope. Suddenly there was hope again. And I always looked for symbols in my life. You know, I back in the days when I did the personal development, I did like spiritual things and I thought everything is energy and I looked for symbols. And then the doctor told me this, I found you, and then I could go for a walk again. So it was very slow, but I could. And the first thing there was like a butterfly. And it flew to me. So, and I never have like recognized butterflies before in that way, or that they come close to me. And that was like, for me, it was a magical moment. Maybe I can just get through, you know? So, and then disbelief came. Yeah. And then you know how healing works? It was like, then it was this and 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 this. And then I had like, it's TMS 100%. I found proofs that it is TMS. And then like when the days got worse, shit, once again, I have the diagnosis, you know. I have these antibodies in my body. It's from the vaccination. Yes, and I had it and I lost it. And then I had it and I lost it.
So to clarify a little bit for the ones who don't know what TMS is, we also call it mind-body symptoms. These are sort of a protection mechanism that the brain creates to protect you from something. And
And
these
distract you.
symptoms, yeah, and distract you, but like they can be turned on and off. That's what we do in the program. So we want to create the symptoms to see what is causing it, and then to release the underlying stressor, and then the symptoms are just gone. So how did you do that? How did you work with TMS?
For me, I had to know about TMS. And as I was a very mind-driven person, I'm still mind-driven, but a little bit less, I had to understand the whole thing. So I had like, what does anger do with it? Or what does fear do with it? What does all these things have to do with this? Because, you know, maybe like 4 or 5 years, 6, 7 years, I wasn't angry at all. You know, at some point I thought I was like enlightened or something. You know, I did all the things and there was no anger in my life and there was no fear in my life. So I remembered when I was younger, I was afraid of heights, you know. And then what did I do? I jumped out of a plane. So because I'm an achiever. And then the fear was gone. And the anger was gone. And I had to understand what role do they play in my life. And I had to connect the dots, you know, what happened back in the days? How is my family? Why did I become like I was? Why did I do like behaving or mechanisms that are so stressful to me? So for me, the understanding part was important. So at the first point. And then it was important to let go of all the things, to like go out of my head and go out of the logic thinking and all the things to feeling, you know? So back from brainy to more like to the heart.
And did you
Okay, and
feel anger there and fear?
yeah, I not at first. At first I felt nothing when I just sat down. And for me, you have a very good technique is the like the breathing through, you like breathe through, and then you say that the stress is bound to the organs. You just help me if I don't say correct. And at the beginning, I didn't felt anything. You know, I just felt, oh, once again, the dizziness. I thought it was gone, the dizziness. And then like my face started to burning. And but you said, focus on your throat and focus on your bladder.
Like and between between the throat.
Yeah, between,
and the bladder.
Between, yeah. And then there were, I did it like once, two times, three times. And then maybe at the 15th time, I felt like something is like, you know, ripping my throat. So pushing something in like a black ball, which is here in there. And this was the first thing I felt something like that, you know. And then there were moments where when I woke up in the morning and then I just listened to smooth music, I just start to cry, just crying. And then when I like went outside and the people annoyed me or they did something like they throw rubbish away, and then I felt anger once again. And but I had to like do a lot of things and trust the process and do it again and do it again and do it again, and also like a little bit journaling and do it again. And then it came and came and came. So yeah.
So where do you think it was all those years?
You know, the family situation for us was that I had to be a people pleaser, a very, very high people pleaser. So I did things, for example, the whole coaching things, all the things was from the energy that I'm not good enough. I have to do something to show that I'm worth, you know. And then I did a lot of things which I really bent myself, you know, that was not me. So I did this one and I did this one and I helped this one. Even when I was like rock bottom, I thought of how can I help my friends, you know. He has financial issues and he has this and this and this. And these things, they made me so angry, you know. I was angry at myself at that point. This was also a huge problem for me because I was very, very hard to myself at that point. When I thought, okay, you did this one, you did this one, you completely like, you didn't step over your boundaries, you like crushed your boundaries, you didn't had any boundaries. Yeah, and these were the things like, yeah.
So that's causing you to have a lot of anger. And did anger have anything to do with your symptoms?
So, and I think I really pushed a lot of things down. You know, this is this whole suppression theory. So I suppressed a lot of emotions, but other stressors also. And thanks to you and the tools in the program, I put the stressors out and put it out. And put it out. And I still put it out. It's not like I'm finished. So the work is done, finished. So it is a mix of still doing the tools and living the life in the moment, presence, find joy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that that's as well a huge misconception that this is magic recovery. So people want to, like, I asked them for an interview and everybody says no because they have this belief that everything needs to be released from their body.
Mm-hmm.
So that you never have stress anymore or never have a small symptom, but it doesn't work like that. It's instead, like, it's the way that we deal with stress and symptoms. That's really important. So whenever they're, I mean, if you're lying in bed, then nothing is going to trigger you maybe, or maybe not a lot. But if you work, have a family, have a job, have your own house, need to go to the sports club, then there can be a lot of things that can make you, for example, angry or afraid. And if you can't feel that properly, then the brain creates symptoms. But then it's like up to you, like how long is this going to last, this symptom? Will I spend weeks in bed or go in, have a release, let the stress out of my body and feel better? that's way more important than magically being this healed guy forever.
Yeah, and I think it comes down to resistance. You explain it too when you have resistance against anything. So your body puts out, or you put out, stress hormones. So, and of course, no one wants the symptoms. You know, we can say you have to love your symptoms. You have to be indifferent to your symptoms. And I think you can come to that point where you are indifferent to the symptoms. But at the end of the day, we do the release things to get rid of the symptoms. This is what everyone does, I think, so, in my understanding. So yeah. We don't like it. We don't like to be, I don't like to be bed bound. I don't like to have no energy. I don't like the symptoms in my head. And so, but the problem for me was, I thought that is like something outside of me, you know? And then I have to fight it, you know, I have to fight it. And then I get maybe healthy and then I fight against them. And then once again, for me, it was important just to accept that it is right now, not for always, but right now it's a part of me and it belongs to me. And fighting against it, it doesn't help at all. And this is a state which I didn't do all the time. You know, some days I can just do it, okay? Just accept it. Everything is good. Everything is good. You live in a friendly universe. Trust the process. Everything is good. And then there are other days where I just want to fight, you know?
Yeah,
so like you said, the magic healing, which goes like, zhut, finish, 3 months, everything is good, great, come on, old life. I think that, yeah, in my case, it was not like this. Yeah.
Well, I've met like one or two people and they did something, I don't know what they really did. They were only halfway through the program and they magically healed. And I'm not really sure what happened, but yeah, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you have any full releases that you're like you were having symptoms, felt crazy, or felt painful? Like what is the word? Felt really fatigued, or well, anyway, something like that. And you do a release, get the stress out of your body, and feel better instantly. Did you have a view of those?
I was on vacation in Tunisia because you said you can go. You can be tired everywhere, so I start traveling again. Yeah, and then I was in Tunisia, and it was everything cool the first 2 days. I felt good. I enjoyed the sun and walked at the beach, slow tempo, just a couple of minutes. And like the third day was crazy, because I felt, you know, I had often these flu-like symptoms, and then I couldn't differentiate, is it TMS flu symptoms or are they flu symptoms, or is there a mix, you know, maybe everything's the same. I don't know. And then there were the day where the flu symptoms were very high. You know, I thought I have a fever and all these things. And then I thought, okay, either I stay in bed or I go to the beach and do the breath work. You know, there wasn't the 9D, not the extreme one, the very extreme one, but the other one. And then I did it, and the symptoms were gone. And this was another convincer to me. You know, we have to collect convincers. This is very important in this journey. So, and this was the first, I think, proper release that I had. So we had a coaching session together. I don't know if you remember it.
Yeah, that's like a year ago almost, right?
Yeah, almost a year ago. And there I thought I also had a release. But the one with the breath work was like, for me, was a deeper release. Like this. And then I really felt there's something like, I breathed out, I breathed it away, and then I felt good.
And what did you release? Was it stress or anxiety or fear or anger?
I think in that moment it was like fear.
Okay, yeah. So you reconnected with fear because the mind calmed down.
Yeah.
And then
But the other thing is, it's important for me to say that the fear, then it's not magically gone. I think we are here as humans, okay? We can say we are souls and all these things, but we have a body and we came here. We decided to be here. And I think we decided to have a human experience. This is what we decided. So, and I'm not a guru or something. So I still have fear. I still
everyone
have
has fear.
anger. Yeah.
Everyone. If I hit you on your face right now, you'll probably get angry.
Yes.
And if you
But you know,
stand on
when you
a
look at.
roof and look down,
Yeah. Yeah, but that is sometimes like you mentioned the magically. You know, there are, for example, people on social media or the great speakers in Germany, we have a lot of them who tell the people how to live their lives and explain everything. And they understood the whole emotion game, and they don't have the bad emotions or the unwanted emotions anymore. And that is completely bullshit in my opinion.
Yeah,
So
usually that takes a few years and then they come to one of us.
yeah,
Having
yes, for example. Yeah.
first a disclaimer about the breath work. Like if you're having this, if you think like, wow, okay, Timo was in Tunisia on the beach and suddenly without symptoms, I'm going to try breath work.
Yeah.
Well, there is also a big probability that your brain will create more symptoms if you don't have any preparation done, if you don't know what you're doing. So I'm very cautious with recommending people who are not in the program to do something like breath work. And we only introduce it in the last part of the program when you're completely ready and you do it on your own pace, so no one forces you. Yeah, just to get that to make that clear. And another thing you said in the beginning is like when you jumped out of an airplane, you didn't have any fear. I was the exact same thing. Like when I was like around 12 or 13 years old, I was afraid my entire youth. And I thought like, let's just be done with it. Let's be fearless. And I didn't have any fear. So I could do whatever I want, like walking on the roofs or crazy things that I did in my life. And a few months ago, I was working on the roof to install a satellite receiver. I couldn't do it because I was so afraid of heights. I was like clamping onto this roof like a little cat. Like, I don't know what to So that comes back. Yeah, it's a part of our lives, anger and fear. Yeah.
Yeah.
So is there for anyone who has like post-vaccination problems or these kind of symptoms, is there anything that you would like to tell them?
When you can, try to be open-minded. Look for people maybe who healed. So the unhealing things, you know, some things are you can't heal. So, but for every disease, you have a person or more person who healed. So be open-minded, okay? Don't be too hard on yourself. Try to allow it. I know this sounds, when someone said to me, like in my lowest state, allow it, accept it, surrender, you know, then I think I would punch him in the face. Because in the state where you're rock bottom, it's very hard. But it comes down to that. So be in the present moment. So, and this is also very important to see. There is a German, Erich Fromm. He said that the person who are ill are the healthiest. Because when we are honest, we live in a society which is traumatized. We live in a society which is very narcissistic. And when you have symptoms, maybe it's like the moment where you recognize that you are like not okay with the status quo. And I think that is a good thing. I won't, will not say that it's like an awakening and like widening your consciousness or something, but maybe it is like that.
Yeah. So yeah, I say it a lot. Yeah, that we're in a healing phase that started for you then with the vaccination. And I was in the beginning, of course, very cautious with saying anything about the vaccination because the whole thing was new. So I don't know. But it turned out to be just the same as it was for me. I took a drug at the time, so that triggered some old emotions or something coming up, or some old stress in my body. Maybe it was the final drop in the bucket, and that's when everything started going downhill for me. So it's like very similar. I took like a crazy chemical substance, and it started, and you also took something like a chemical substance. And then everything just comes up. The brain creates symptoms to protect you. And then we go downhill. And before we know it, we think that we're going to stay dead. But we're going to stay like that forever. There's no healing, especially when you look online. There's so much negativity. Timo, you have a podcast, right?
Yes, but it's What's German.
It's in German. Yeah, it has a very nice name, right? It's what is the name again in German?
In German, it's Das Leben ist ein Ponyhof. And then, wie funktioniert Lebensfreude? So in English, life is a farm with nice horses. You know, but it's the thing is, in Germany, we have a saying. So life is not sugar. Life is hard. You don't always get what you want. And das Leben ist kein Ponyhof, is not a farm with ponies.
Yes.
So and I like crossed the K, so for not, and I said like it is one.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. But what the people always mistakes, you know, at the farm with horses or with little horses, you know, the horses they shit. And sometimes there's a lot of shit. And then sometimes you have to clean the shit. And then it can be beautiful again. Or maybe the shit is also beautiful. But the people always think that it's always like it has to be happiness, it has to be fine, it has to be sunshine everywhere. Yeah, I don't think if it works like that. If I find it out, I tell you. But I think it's like maybe the highs and lows, and because we have the lows, the highs are so good. You know, we need that.
Thank you very much for the interview, Timo. Like
appreciate it. Thank you for having me, and thank you just for your being. You know, I said it a lot of times, but you are an unbelievable important part of my puzzle, and not just of mine, of so many, many people. So you're doing unbelievable good work, and you will be also a guest on my podcast, and you will talk in German. Good.
Yes. Machen wir jetzt aus.
Good. Great.
Okay, thank you everyone for watching, and please like and subscribe. And the next time, if you are speaking German, I'm on his channel. Have a beautiful day, everyone. Bye.
Bye.